Okay, let's go ahead and get started. This is November 24th, 2019. We want to welcome those who are joining us online. We are still in Hebrews 11, learning about biblical faith. And I say biblical faith because there's a lot of distortion when it comes to the topic of faith. But we don't want to just learn about faith. We want to walk in faith. We want to live by faith. We want to be doers of the word and not just hearers. Okay? So why don't we pray and ask the Lord just to speak to us now. Father, we just want to commit this very important time of our morning together as we hear your word, as we learn about faith, more about faith. And Lord, as we just said, we don't want to just learn about it. We want to walk in it. We want to live by faith. Lord, that's a grace you have to pour out upon us. We ask that you would do that. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. Much of the walk of faith means that we're continuing to press on. We're moving forward in the things that God has called us to. Faith also tells us that we are part of the bigger picture of what God is doing. We want to be, our vision, our eye is on that heavenly city whose architect and builder is God. Are we, it's not working. Okay, just a second. Time out. Okay, no, that's okay.
It's like grabbing all the little, like, glasses and mustaches and, like the cool silly pastor. Things.
Okay. That's right. I'm the psychedelic pastor. Okay. See, $1,000,000, oy. Y gracias a ti, Mónica, para organizar todo. Okay. We can start again. Okay. Okay. Okay, we want to welcome those who are joining us online. We're in Hebrews 11. We're learning about biblical faith. But we don't want to just learn about faith. We want to walk in faith. We want to live by faith. We want to be doers of the word and not just merely hearers, right? So much of the walk of faith means that we are continuing to press on. We are moving forward in the things that God has called us. Faith also tells us that we're bigger, we're part of a bigger picture of what God's doing. You know, he's got purposes that transcend our lifetime. And he has placed us to be part of that. So our vision, our eye, is really on that heavenly city whose architect and builder is God. We've looked at a couple of several illustrations. Let's kind of look at some of these again. We see that faith is a journey. It's not a one-time decision. It's not something we do by taking one step, but a journey is what? Many steps, right? And in this case, this journey of faith, it lasts for our entire lifetime. And there's many joys along the way. We get to know brothers and sisters who are also walking in that journey of faith, like you, and what a privilege and honor it is, you know? It's we get to know God better. We understand his ways. However, we keep in mind that the true fulfillment of all his promises are in that heavenly city. So we still kind of have that in mind. just like we see in Hebrews 11. Let's take a look at that next illustration we've looked at. Sometimes the journey is difficult. It's hard, isn't it? Sometimes it seems like we're not making any progress. Sometimes it seems like we're going around in circles. You know, but we keep marching forward, don't we? We don't give up because we know what God's word says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we walk by faith and not by sight. No por vista. Okay, we walk by faith. And sometimes it can just be really hard, right? There may be some desert times too, some dry times. We may be tempted to turn back. But we don't, do we? We continue to march forward. That is faith. And probably these three pictures probably describe as much as anything what we're talking about in Hebrews 11. Okay, so today we want to look at verses 20 through 29. Let's read it. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the Exodus and of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through the dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Okay, there's a lot here. And in these, let's kind of look at those first three verses again, where we see that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding the things to come. And by faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. You know, I call this section, by faith, we're blessing the next generation or generations. Because we see that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, and then Jacob, at the end of his life, blessed Joseph and his sons, and then Joseph blessed his sons, speaking of what was to happen really 400 years later. So what were they doing? Was this just sort of something sentimental going on? No. They were passing the baton on to the next generation. And that is part of our walk of faith. Remember, we talked about that a few weeks ago, that really this journey of faith doesn't just include our generation. It includes many generations. And so at the end of our life, we pass the baton on to those who are coming behind us. It's like a relay race. And it's been going on since the time of Abraham. And really, maybe even before that, maybe Adam and Eve, you know. And we have a very important part in this race. Verse 1 of chapter 12, we haven't gotten there yet, but we've looked at it. It talks about this cloud of witnesses, which includes all the people in Hebrews 11, but it also includes everyone who's walked the walk of faith before us. And what are they doing? What are they witnessing? They're looking down on earth. And they're looking at the purposes of God being advanced, one generation by one generation. And here's the beautiful thing. There's a lot of evidence in the scriptures. We're getting really, really close to being that last generation. We could be that last generation. Or if not, we're very, very close to it. So we're in a very exciting time of this whole corporate journey of faith. We talked about how also that what happens at the end of the game with the people who are spectators. They're standing up, aren't they? They're beginning to shout, okay, let's go, let's go. And I have a feeling if we could take a glimpse into heaven and see what that cloud of witnesses are doing, they're probably looking down at us right now because they're saying, it's getting really close. Look at them, look at them. They might even say, look, down there in Frisco, Colorado, they're talking about us right now. Hey, how about that? You know? We don't know exactly what's happening, but we do know that they are a cloud of witnesses. Okay? And here in verses 20 through 22, we see the baton being passed from one to another, that the purposes of God would keep moving forward. Verse 21 says, Jacob, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and then he worshiped. Why was he worshiping? Because he had been faithful to his part in this great race. And more important, he'd seen God's faithfulness. Did he see the fulfillment of everything that had been promised to him and to Abraham? No. He saw it go, he saw it advance, but he didn't see the total fulfillment. But he worshiped because he knew there was going to be another generation that was going to take it a little bit further. And that's what we see. That's sort of really the story of Hebrews 11. By the way, when someone blessed someone, it was usually words of encouragement. Sometimes it's words of warning, because that's part of the blessing as well. But let's just take a quick look. Genesis 48. We don't have time to look at all the blessings that were passed from one generation to another, but let's look at Genesis 48, 15 and 16. Talking about Jacob, or Israel, as he's now called. He blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and may my name live on in them, and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Remember, that was one of the promises, that the people of God would grow into a big multitude, as many as the stars in the heavens, the sand of the seashore. In fact, if we kind of go on down and look at verse 19, we see the same thing. He blessed them that day, saying, by you, Israel, will pronounce blessings, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Verse 19. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also will become a people, and he also will be great. However, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a multitude of nations. That's part of the promise. The patriarchs, they saw the bigger picture of what God was doing. And so therefore, they passed it on to the next generation. And the question we've got to ask, are we doing the same thing? Especially in this age where sometimes we can't think more than a year in advance. And that's kind of long term for us. But long term, according to the scriptures, is seeing things in the eternal perspective. Are we blessing the next generation? Are we preparing them for their part in the purposes of God? We need to be. That's part of our work of faith. So those of you who have children or grandchildren, those of you who are working with the children, back in the classes right now, You have a very important job. It's part of blessing the next generation and preparing them for what God wants to continue doing. Okay, let's look at verses 23 now. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and was not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, his parents hid Moses when he was born. Now, I think probably many of you know the story, but in case you don't, this is when the sons of Israel and Jacob and Abraham, they were all living in the land of Egypt as slaves. But God kept multiplying them. And so Pharaoh and the people of Egypt thought, we better watch out, or they're going to take over. Because that was part of the promise, that they would multiply. And they were, just like God's people today are multiplying. And so the Pharaoh had a law that all male children had to be killed. But many of the sons of Israel, the Hebrews, they disregarded that law because they were following a higher law, right? And so what happened in the case of Moses' parents, they hid him as long as they could for about 3 months. And you know the story, they put him in a basket. They prayed over him, kind of, you know, let the basket float down the Nile River. And then by coincidence, not really, because it was God had a plan for that, Pharaoh's daughter was out there, you know, getting water and, you know, enjoying suntanning or whatever she does. And she saw this, she sees this basket with this beautiful baby. She grabs it and her heart falls in love with this baby. And she says, I want it, you know. Someone said, well, you need someone to kind of help nurse the baby. And so they said, why don't you kind of go to one of the Hebrew slaves and see if you can kind of find someone. And they just happened to run across Moses' mother. So Moses' mother kind of comes into the palace too. And she's there taking care of the daughter of Pharaoh's baby, which was really Moses. That all happened by faith. But they weren't afraid of the king's laws. And for us in our journey of faith, we don't worry about governments and what kings say. We do the right thing, don't we? Because remember, sometimes there's going to be government leaders that do bad things. Sometimes they're going to do good things. But our response, we keep marching forth in the purposes of God. You know, because God's bigger than all of them. So we see that God took care of Moses. In fact, he grew up in Pharaoh's household. He became educated. By the way, Egypt was really the ruler of the world at that time. So he grew up with the very best life that was available on the entire planet. Ate the best food, enjoyed the pleasures of Egypt, you know, and God used that season of his life to prepare him for what he was going to be involved in later. Verse 24, 25. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Wow. This here, you can read the story back in Exodus in more detail. But basically, when Moses was about 40 years old, he made the choice. He realizes that he's Hebrew, that he's got the same blood of these slaves. And so he makes a very difficult choice. And by the way, on our road of faith, we're going to have some difficult choices also. Sometimes the choice involves whether we follow God in his purposes or do we enjoy this life and his pleasures. Now, it's okay God's put us on the earth. He wants us to enjoy this life, but that's not our purpose in life. Our purpose isn't to enjoy this life. Our purpose is to follow God in his purposes. And sometimes That means having to reject a life that seeks after the enjoyment of this world. And it's a choice that we'll often be confronted with. Like Moses, it may mean that we often have to refuse part of our past. We have to leave behind. And that's what Moses had to do. He decided to endure ill treatment with the people of God. That meant he would be willing to consider himself a slave if necessary. See, the people of God aren't always the most popular people on this earth. Many times, they're the ones that are persecuted. They're not popular for one reason. They're not investing in this world. They're investing in what? The kingdom of God, that heavenly city. And so because of that, often they're considered the scum of the earth. You know, they're considered down at the bottom. And so Moses, who had the very best life, he chose to endure ill treatment with the people of God. And by the way, that's probably a question we need to kind of ask ourselves. Who do we surround ourselves with? Did you know that who we surround ourselves with will determine what we'll be like? Who we'll become? In our case, we need to surround ourselves by what? Godly men and women. Now, I didn't say just people who call themselves Christians, because a lot of times people who are just call themselves Christians, they're maybe kind of not living godly lives. But we want to surround ourselves with those who live godly lives, men and women who are godly, who are seeking God. We don't really have time to talk about that a whole lot, but just know that's a theme all the way through the Scriptures. So Moses made a difficult choice. We will have to make difficult choices too at times. But look at the end how God used Moses for his bigger purposes. He took a group of slaves and brought them into the promised land and began to make them a people who are independent, who are able to worship him. A very big step in the purposes of God. But Moses had to make some difficult choices to be used in that way. Verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. That may be my favorite verse in this section. First of all, it's interesting to notice he says he considered the reproach of Christ. You might say, well, wait a minute. Didn't Moses live before Christ? Yeah, about 2,000 years before. No, maybe about 1,200 years before. A long time before. But this shows us that God's people, even back then, had some sense of that coming Messiah King. But the reproach of Christ, that means there's a cost. Following Christ will cost us time. It's going to cost us energy, emotional energy. It's going to cost us money, how we kind of use our finances. It's probably going to cost us our reputation. Sometimes even with our own family. In fact, if I were to ask, how many of you have people in your family who don't like you being a Christian? Probably most of us would probably raise our hands, right? They don't understand. Our reputation has been tainted or maybe destroyed in the eyes of sometimes our own family. It may cost us our career. We don't know. But following Christ, there's always a cost. And by the way, when we spend our life, our money, our reputation, our career on following Christ, that means there's some things that we will have to leave behind. The treasures of Egypt. We know what that is, don't we? The treasures of Egypt. Let me just kind of read it again here. It says, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. The treasures of Egypt are really the pleasures of this life. The choice that Moses made and that we will make too really is this. The reproach of Christ or the treasures of this world. Its pleasures, its money, its influence and power, its sense of significance. Also notice that in Moses' case, it says, for he was looking to the reward. Remember Hebrews 10, verse 35? I think we have a slide. It says, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. He's talking about that inheritance that we have in this next life. Actually, when I read this verse about considering the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, I think about a passage in 2 Corinthians. Let's turn there. Let's just kind of read it. 2 Corinthians 6, and let's start in verse 3. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of Christ. Because that's what this passage is about. We're servants of Christ. But notice the description of servants of Christ. In much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings. That probably hasn't happened to many of us here, but it's happening to many of our brothers and sisters. In imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. Wow, that's the reproach of Christ. But also in purity, in knowledge, in patience. Sometimes walking that life, that journey of faith requires patience, doesn't it? In kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true. If you follow Christ, there's going to be some people who are going to, they're going to lie about you. As unknown, yet well known. As dying, yet behold we live. As punished, yet not put to death. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And I like this. As poor, yet making many rich. Making rich. People making rich down here. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Because we're possessing an inheritance, a heavenly city. We may not see it now, or we may only see it from a distance. But that is faith. That's faith. So the question for us is, do we want the greater riches of this world? Or do we want that greater reward, which is later? It's a question all of us have to ask. And continually ask. It's a question we're faced with every day. And by the way, it's not just one decision. It's a walk of faith. And a walk, every step is a decision. So it's not just, okay, I took a step. Made a decision. No, every day we make decisions. No, my eye is on the greater reward. And the riches of this world, they may come, they may go, but that's not what I'm investing in. And by the way, living in this country, we do have a lot of riches, don't we, of this world. But we can't let that be where our heart is. Actually, Jesus talks about the decision, are we going to store up treasure on earth or do we store up treasure in heaven? That's the way Jesus puts it. And he implies you can't do both. You can't do both. So which are we going to do? Let's go verse 27 real quick here. Let's finish up. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing what him who is unseen. So, by faith, Moses had to leave Egypt. Otherwise, he would have been probably killed, you know. But he didn't just leave Egypt as a geographical place. He left Egypt and all that it stands for. The influence, the security, the power, the comforts, the food. Remember when the people of Israel went through Egypt? Many times they start thinking, remember when we were in Egypt, the garlic and the leeks and the fruits, all we had to do is, all we are eating here is this manna every day, you know, for 40 years. You know, Egypt was known for good food, you know. But Moses left Egypt. Why? Because Moses was looking for another country, a better one, a heavenly city. And he did not fear. He didn't fear the king. He didn't fear what others thought. He didn't fear how he'd make a living. He trusted God. And God alone. And so we see that Moses left Egypt and he spent the next 40 years in the wilderness. Now think about that. He went from the palaces of Egypt, the very best this earth had, to the desert wilderness where he was a nobody. And by the way, if you've ever seen the wilderness kind of in that area of in the Middle East, I mean, it makes Moab look like a lush garden. I mean, it is, it's the worst, you know, it's the driest place on earth. So he went from, you could say, the best to the worst, and he spent 40 years there. That's a long time, you know it? That was where his choices took him. But that's not the end of the story, is it? Because he endured. That's what it says there in verse 27. He endured. He saw him who was unseen. And God, in the end, used Moses to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt and take them to the promised land. But he had to wait, like for 40 years. And he had to walk in faith. And that's another thing about faith. Sometimes it involves waiting and just trusting because you don't see what God's doing. It's like the picture we showed of the guy in the desert. He's walking by faith thinking, I don't see any heavenly city. I don't see the promises. But he walked anyway. Verse 28. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch him. Now, you can read all about the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood in Exodus 12 and 13. We could probably take three messages just to do this one verse, but let's just kind of leave it at this. Think about that first Passover and all that it meant and all that it spoke prophetically. God's salvation, his deliverance, his setting his people free. Wait a minute, that sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? It is, that's right. The defeat of the enemy, the blood making us righteous, protection from judgment. All these are themes of the cross, aren't they? That's right. And somehow, by faith, Moses instituted the Passover, knowing that somehow God was going to bring about the fulfillment of all they were doing that day in the Messiah. in Jesus. And this, probably Moses knew, was just a shadow, was just a type of what to come. I mean, think about it. When Jesus came at the cross, and what Jesus did at the cross became the most important event in history. It became the most event in the purposes of God. And Moses, for Moses, he was a part of setting up the shadow of this that would be a fulfillment of the of this prophetic event called the Passover. So when we pass, well, Moses by faith was doing his part in the overall purposes of God. That time in the wilderness, those choices he made 40 years earlier were all necessary in that journey of faith. He never could have imagined all that God was going to unfold for him. And then in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. You know the story. All of a sudden, Moses leads the people out. Pharaoh says, go. I want you to go. I want you to leave this place. Never come back. So he starts taking off. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh decides, what am I doing? I'm getting rid of all our slaves. He changes his mind, goes after the Hebrew people. And it happened to be where the Hebrews, the sons of Israel, were facing the Red Sea. And that was a real crisis point, a real crisis of faith. Because they looked at the Red Sea, they thought, no way we can get across that way. They looked back this way and they saw Pharaoh and his chariots and his armies thundering toward them. And they started crying out, what are we going to do? Moses cried out to the Lord. And then he declared, stand by and see the salvation of God. And he says, get ready to cross the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, the Red Sea split. And they marched through it to the other side. Well, when Pharaoh and his chariots came, they thought, we don't understand what's happening, but let's go through it too. And of course, what happened when they went through? All of a sudden, the waters came back. Moses was to learn that no obstacle, no mountain, or Red Sea was too much for God. Absolutely nothing could stand in the way of God moving forth his purposes. Because they had to get across to go forward in the purposes of God. But there's a big Red Sea, so God decided, no problem, I'll just divide that. Actually, we saw Abraham and Sarah. They witnessed the supernatural power of God, right? And Moses and the people of Israel did. And they saw it many times afterwards. And by the way, we will too. There may be some times, there may be some dry times, hard times. There may be times of struggle. But we'll also, in this journey of faith, we'll see God's miraculous intervention. And we'll see the enemies of the Lord destroyed in the process. Okay, in conclusion, we're talking about the journey of faith. It's many steps, many decisions to do what's right, to be thankful, to not complain, but to kind of keep marching forward. There'll be some big miracles in this journey of faith in advancing his kingdom. There are going to be some tough choices also. You know, the riches of Egypt or the reproach of Christ. The pleasures of this world or following Christ. Some tough choices. There'll probably be some suffering as well. Being confused, baffled, dry times, wilderness times. Just remember that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that we read. All these are part of the journey of faith. But you know one of the most important things is that when we walk this journey of faith, Jesus Christ is walking with us. and we have fellowship with him. We have koinonia with him. This is the journey of faith to which we've been called. Let's pray. And let's tell the Lord again that, Lord, I'm walking this journey of faith. I probably didn't understand all that was involved when I first signed up for this journey. I'm understanding more and more. But Lord, this is the life that I've decided. It's going to cost you. It probably already has. It's going to cost more before you pass from this earth. But remember, you're looking to the reward. You're looking at the heavenly city. And by the way, in this journey of faith, you're still going to see there could be lots of joys. We get to do it as brothers and sisters. And we will experience the peace of God and walking with him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are opening our eyes to this journey of faith that you've called every one of us in this room to. Some of us started this journey when we were young. Some of us maybe when we were adults. But Lord, we're just so thankful that we get to join you on this journey. Lord, we understand we're going to see some pretty powerful miracles along the way. We have already. We also understand, Lord, it's going to be some pretty tough choices for us too. Whether or not we're going to embrace the reproach of Christ or the treasures of Egypt. Lord, give us the grace to make the right choices. Lord, there'll be times that we'll be confused. Sometimes it will feel like turning around. Sometimes that we're walking through the wilderness. Lord, we hope it's not like 40 years like Moses was. But Lord, if it is, that's okay. Because Lord, we want to follow you and the path that you have for each of us. Lord, we do want to thank you that we don't get to, that we're not doing this alone, but we're walking this with our brothers and sisters. And in our case, Lord, here at Emmanuel Fellowship, Lord, you've put together some great brothers and sisters for us to walk with. Lord, we thank you that you're walking with us. Lord, we thank you for that heavenly city, that better country that you've called us to. Lord, that's where our eyes want to be. Lord, we thank you for this walk of faith. And Lord, every one of us right now, we are making a fresh commitment that yes, that's the walk that I'm committing myself to, no matter what the cost. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.